Welcome to episode 3 of the Higher Standard Podcast. Couldn't have a better time to do this, as this is EIWA Championships Week, starting the first of two huge weekends in March. And on today's show, this is a good one. We will have freshman Patrick Glory, the current 10th ranked wrestler in the nation at 125 pounds. Really one of the most exciting recruits to come to Princeton Wrestling ever, frankly, and he's certainly lived up to the hype this year. Before we get to that interview, which is a fun one, let's take a quick look, kind of just a quick talk about how EIWAs will work this week. They are being held at Binghamton University. They go Friday, Saturday. Friday is going to start session one at 11, session two, which is quarterfinals and wrestlebacks, 6 o'clock. On Saturday, semifinals through wrestlebacks and seventh place matches will start at 10 a.m. and then 3 o'clock first, third, and fifth place matches. You can watch them on Flow. They will be covering the meet all weekend. Tournament brackets, I'm sure, will be out Thursday night typically. Flow Arena will have all of that. You know, Princeton coming in two straight years, the number three team. Certainly, you know, I thought last year it was kind of trying to defend that spot. And now I think this year, you know, they're trying to surpass it. It's obviously Cornell and Lehigh have been the two dominant powers in the league over the last 20 years. But I think this is a Princeton team that thinks it has a chance to take a step up and you know, battle for first or second place in the league. A lot of EIWA bids, obviously, at stake. 46, I believe, third most in the nation. Always a terrific tournament in terms of you know, not only competing for Eastern supremacy, but you know, you get those matches where an NCAA tournament bid is on the line, and those are always fun ones, always exciting ones, and you know, fairly emotional ones, especially when you get to some of those upperclassmen that haven't competed at NCAAs yet. You'll have a full preview on GoPrincetonTigers.com this week, and that will obviously follow this podcast. As I said, I taped this with Pat last week before the New Jersey State Championships, which were over the weekend, and obviously a major congratulations to Chris Ayer's daughter, Chloe, who was in that first set of girls' state championships ever held in New Jersey. You know, Chris and Lori Ayers played a big role in bringing that to New Jersey, and for them to see their daughter win in Boardwalk Hall, I think had to be obviously an incredible experience. So congratulations to them. And now Chris Ayers would love nothing more than to see a few more champions this coming weekend, and somebody who is going for that big time, probably the two seed at 125, will be our guest for today's Higher Standard Podcast. Let's hear now from Patrick Glory. Let's just start with kind of the reality versus your own expectations of college wrestling. And I know everyone comes in hoping for the best, and so it doesn't always work out. But how different has this year been than maybe what you expected it to be, and the challenges of just NCAA college wrestling?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of related to how I was thinking coming into high school. Like, kind of expected the worst. Everyone says, oh, it's, you know, it's a whole different level. It really is. You know, it's a kind of a step up the ladder, you know, in a lot of senses of the word. So I kind of expected the worst coming in. You know, oh, man, I have to do so much. There's so much I need to do. There's so much I need to do. And I think the coaches understand that a lot of us freshmen have that mentality coming in. So I think that it's, in a sense, they kind of try to limit us. They don't want us to do too much, right? They don't want us to freak out that we're not doing enough. And the coaches always just say, you know, trust the process. Trust in what they're you know, telling us to do. They have been around long enough to know that, you know, what's the proper stuff to do, how we're going to maximize, you know, our training and our, you know, lifting, everything that, you know, so that we can peak in March. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that I really bought into, and I think a lot, you know, our whole team has bought into. And I think that, you know, it's made it a lot easier, the transition, to just say, hey, I'm doing it with everyone else. I'm not going to do, you know, obviously there's extra stuff that, you know, maybe you need to have to, you know, get an extra run in to lose weight, or, you know, you want to come in and get an extra private in to do, you know, some technical stuff. But, like, that's fun for me. That's not really any extra work. So it really hasn't been too hard. But
starting with, you started with the Tiger Open. Obviously, you win that in convincing fashion. Does having a day like that kind of been like, all right, I'm going to be fine?
Yeah, I mean, especially that being the first tournament of the year. I was at that point, I was still like, am I ready for college wrestling?
Right.
You know, how am I going to match up against some of these college guys? I knew I had some ranked kids in my weight class, so I was like, I was kind of excited to get my hands on them. But at the same time, you know, throughout high school and, you know, just wrestling, you know, throughout my life, I started to realize that, you know, it's all about your outlook on everything. So, I've talked to a bunch of different people, and the recurring theme kind of comes up, you know, about what's the truth about yourself. You know, do I have the capability to you know, technically beat anyone in the country? You know, I feel like I'm just as talented as anyone else out there. So it's all about your outlook going into the matches. So going into that, I was just, you know, going to let it fly. You know, I was still, you know, under the radar at that point. You know, I hadn't done anything in college yet, and I love that. You know, I love being the underdog. I love just going out there and not having anything on the table and just going and showing people what I got. So that was a lot of fun for me. And then, you know, obviously afterwards, looking back, it was definitely a sigh of relief to be like, okay, well, I'm here, and let's just keep building off this.
You know, I want to break down your season kind of in two ways, in wins and then in the losses. And starting with the wins, you look at your wins, and I think it's 21, 22, 23 wins, and I think two of them are by decision. And basically, it seems that, like, you know, you'll see guys that are very comfortable winning 5-3 and 2-1 and whatever, and you seem like you just want to keep scoring points. Has that always been your mentality, and are you just somebody that is kind of, all 7 minutes, I'm looking to score as many times as possible?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of subconsciously I do that. I never really, like, said, oh, I'm going to score as many points as I can in this match going into it kind of thing. But I think it's just kind of like my style. I like to go out there and score as many points. And, like, I think it's a comfortability thing. You know, like, obviously if you're up by more points, you're going to be more comfortable in the match. And I just think that, like, you know, you get a little cushion underneath you, then you can really go to work. And then it's like you get super dangerous once you get that, you know, confidence going in your head. So that's kind of how I outlook it, kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, especially once I get on top, like, I'm trying to get turns. I'm trying to look for stuff. So I think that just kind of comes, like, subconsciously kind of thing. But
then the four losses, obviously, you know, they're all to guys that are in the top 10 right now. Specifically, I look at the two to Spencer Lee. You know, the one in Iowa, first duel of the season. And then the difference between that match and the match at Midlands, where really kind of those last two periods you dominated. Do you feel like kind of the second time you see somebody, it's an advantage for you? And the fact that you faced guys like that, how much does that benefit you kind of coming into March?
Yeah, so actually, it's kind of funny because I didn't even know what an RPI was until, like, I saw the things that, you know, Princeton Wrestling was posting and everything. So I saw I was ranked number 2 on there, and it really goes to show you how our coaches really want us to get the hardest schedule out there, because it really does benefit us. You know, I mean, I'm wrestling guys like Spencer Lee. You know, we're going to the Midlands. I have the opportunity to wrestle, you know, countless ranked guys. It's only going to benefit me because, you know, now I have the mentality, well, there's no reason I can't beat Spencer Lee. You know, I wouldn't have no idea if I'd be able to beat Spencer Lee, you know, in my head if I had never wrestled him. Especially wrestling him twice. Like, I can see this, you know, countless things that I could have done differently in those two matches that would have, you know, extremely changed the outcome of the matches. I think it's just such a great benefit to have a schedule like that and, you know, to be able to wrestle the top-ranked guys like returning national champ Spencer Lee. And, you know, obviously there's... That first period was the whole match in that second match. And it was kind of, I mean, obviously I got teched, I think, 30 seconds into the second period. So it was basically the whole first period in the first match as well. So I think it was kind of a, you know, wake-up call. It's like, you know, I got to get scoring right away against guys like that instead of waiting and kind of, like, letting him dictate the first period. And then, you know, obviously once he gets on top, you know, keeping my wrists away and getting out. You know, right away. Mm. So that's kind of been one of the things. It's kind of been a recurring theme, right, against Nick Piccinini, too. I lost. I took him down, I think, twice. I got turned, and that was the whole match. You know, so it's kind of been a recurring theme. It's something we've been working on a lot in the room. It's just getting off bottom. And I think that since my loss to Piccinini up until now, I think I've gotten a lot better off the bottom. And then, you know, obviously, like, against Vito, I think it was just a little bit of the atmosphere, a little bit of uncomfortability once I was down, you know, 6-1. I think it was just a little of everything. I saw Brucky lost, and it was just a lot of things that didn't go our way. Didn't get a good warm-up in. So I think that outside of that culture and that atmosphere, it's going to be a lot of a different story. But, you know, it remains to be seen at EIWA. So.
Do you feel like, you know, some guys can you know, take a loss and it really is a confidence, you know, deflator. And it feels like you've taken some losses and really made big steps right after. Like you can kind of take the right mentality of this is where I need to improve, but I'm good. I'm fine, and I'm going to get better from this.
Right. I mean, coaches always say it, you know, it's all about March. Whatever happens in the season before, you know, March 22nd through the 24th, doesn't matter. You know, whoever's on the podium at the end of the year and whoever's sitting at the top is going to be the champion and who's going to be remembered. No one's going to remember a dual loss to Vito Arrujao or a dual loss, two dual losses or whatever to Spencer Lee. They're going to remember how you did in March. So kind of every time you take a loss or, you know, even if you don't take a loss, there's, you know, just look back on your matches and you watch some video and you realize so many things you could do differently to improve. So I kind of view losses as, like, you know, just room for improvement. But, like, I feel like everyone on this team does, and you kind of have to be. And everyone in the Division I level kind of has that mentality, at least in some sort, because you don't get to this level unless, you know, you can take a loss and try to learn from it. But I think definitely that, like, you know, the coaches have been helping, you know, saying right after the match, you know, you're good, you know, you're fine. You know, we'll figure it out. It's not a big deal. We'll get them back in March. That's all they keep saying. So,
you know, one of the things they said is that you basically have an on and an off switch. And then it's like, you know, where some guys, almost in any sport, you know, maybe they have to raise their level certain times. But you kind of, you always seem like you have this passion and energy for the sport, which I would think is very difficult because this is a hard sport. Like, does that just come from love of wrestling? Like, is that just, look, I live for these 7 minutes?
Yeah, you know, growing up, I had a rough relationship with wrestling. My dad pushed me really hard. And I really hated the sport, but the thing is, like, I wasn't really good at anything else. That was just kind of God gifting me with the fact that I was good at wrestling, and you could either take it or leave it. So obviously, I wasn't going to just let that go. And then, you know, as time develops, as you start getting on the mat more and start, you know, getting better, start developing, start picking up new things, it just gets more fun. You know, when you're winning, it's fun. So I think that helped a lot, and I think that I started training with Coach Buxton up in – he actually has a club in my hometown in Randolph. So it was just like a five-minute drive. I mean, that's an incredible guy to have in your backyard. So I think that he helped me a lot, too, to start to love the sport instead of just as a job kind of thing. And, you know, it's like his whole mentality on wrestling is like, why don't you try to be the best wrestler you can be, you know, what's the point of doing it if you're not going to try to be the best that you can be at it, you know? And so how are you going to be the best at it? You pick up on stuff that you're doing wrong. You pick up technique that, you know, you could be adding to your arsenal, stuff that you like, stuff that, you know, it's fun for you to do and that, you know, you're comfortable with. So I think that whole outlook on it definitely changed, like, around, like, freshman, sophomore year of high school. Because, like, middle school, I was like, oh, I hate this thing, man. I hate wrestling. I'd rather be a football player, you know, kind of thing. Like, I got everyone growing up, you know. Like, everyone wants to be a football player. Everyone wants to be, you know, a baseball and MLB player and everything. You know, then once you start growing up, you kind of realize, you know, what are your strengths and what are your strong suits.
So we're recording this a day before the state championships begin in Atlantic City. You're a two-time Jersey State champion. Anyone who's been to on a Boardwalk Hall knows what the environment there is like. What's your best memory from those two state championship runs?
Oh, my God, I can tell you right now. It's actually kind of funny because we're actually wrestling now in college and wrestling twice this year. But my freshman year, I was having an okay year. I'd lost, I think, three times going into the state championships, twice at Beast of the East, and then once throughout the year, I think it was in a dual meet or something. Oh yeah, it was at Parade. But anyways, the number one kid in the state, kid who won the Beast that year, John Tropea, who's the rider, 125 pounder, obviously. So he was a junior at the time. I was a little freshman, right? What do I know? I'm a little lanky freshman, 106-pounder. So we get put on the same side of the bracket for whatever reason. And so he was the one seed. I think I was like the four. I forget how it worked out, but we met in the quarterfinals. I wasn't the four. I forget how it worked out anyways. Great match. I was up like 10-2 or something. I turned him. I took him down. I was feeling myself. Great boardwalk call. Is going crazy. And then he starts to come back. He's chugging back. Took me down like four or five times. And winds up tying it up with like 1 second left on the clock. Send it to overtime. And I just look over in my corner. I remember my coach is looking at me. And they're like freaking out. They're like so scared. And then you just like kind of see the facial expression change. You're like, take him down. That's all you can do. And like, I don't know how I wasn't like shook from just getting taken down five times in the last 2 minutes of the match, but I just kind of was like, all right, I got to score this match. Like, I'm not gonna lose it this way, you know. I'm gonna go out there and win this thing. So I'm going after him. You know, Trepe is tired. I can feel it in him. He was probably sucking a lot of weight. You know, being a junior, cut down to 106, but he's backing up. So I get in on a leg, and he's like, you know, on the edge, he's pushing out of bounds, trying to get out of bounds, he's kicking out. I'm just like kind of pulling him in. And he's kind of in split, and I look at the clock, and there's like 5 seconds left. So I was like, I could finish this right and like maybe not get it, or I could just try to spin behind and just try to score. So I just spun behind, and he just kind of like sat there. I think he was either gassed or whatever, but I wound up getting the two like right as the buzzer hit in overtime. And that I can tell you right now, that's the happiest match I've ever been in my life. Like, I got up and the boardwalk call was going crazy. The whole place was rocking. You know, I just go see my whole fan, my mom and my dad. They're holding up the Dumbarton flag. It was just a really great moment. So that's the one I'll always remember.
You know, I see the way you react to wins and to big crowds, and I think of that Rutgers match that you know, obviously team wise you missed out on, but your match. It seems like you really thrive under that kind of atmosphere. I mean, how special is it? You know, you want to win whoever's there, but those kinds of crowds, like, you really seem to thrive under that.
Yeah, I mean, especially, like, obviously it's a lot different when you're in someone else's backyard. Like, Rutgers for me is still a little familiar because it's still New Jersey. But, like, Iowa, like, it's definitely like a shell shock a little bit, right? You're getting, you know, however many 3,000 Iowa fans, you know, like booing you and yelling and screaming. So that's a little bit different. But I think that once it comes to tournament time, where it's not, there's not one environment, right? Everyone's there. You know,
everybody's there to watch wrestling.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, I think in that environment, I love, because, you know, they just want to see good wrestling. So me, I'm like, all right, I'll give you good wrestling, you know, kind of thing. So I just like to go out there and have fun with it and enjoy the atmosphere, because not a lot of people get to be in the spot that I get to be in, you know, put on a show for these people, right? But I think that, especially during the Rutgers match, I really hoped that, you know, New Jersey at least respected the fact that I came here and wasn't, like, resenting me for not going to Rutgers kind of thing. You know, we're trying to build New Jersey wrestling. We have a combined NJRTC, and I think we're kind of doing everything together. Obviously, this the in-state rivalry, that's
right.
Never going to change.
Win, but
exactly. I mean, we want to be the better team in the NJRTC, but, like, when it comes down to it, we're all working to get New Jersey wrestling better and grow the, you know, the sport in the state. So, like, I think that kind of was, like, for me, like, all right, I'm going to go out there and do the best I can in front of, you know, my home crowd. I felt like that was my home crowd just as much as it was the Rutgers teams. And, you know, even the Rutgers fans were saying, like, good job, Glory. Like, I was getting compliments and everything, you know, from the people in the stands and the fans and everything. So I really do think that, you know, New Jersey wrestling has respect for the other New Jersey wrestlers, and, you know, you can't really get that anywhere else.
You know, you had mentioned a little earlier about, you know, your parents holding the Dumbarton flag, and obviously that's one of, like, the premier high school wrestling programs in the state. And, you know, you'll see guys get to Atlantic City from lesser known high schools, but you know, that kind of team, you can feel, breeds success up and down the weight class. I mean, are you feeling that here? Like, Princeton has made a pretty dramatic jump over the last decade. And when you're in this room, like, when you have guys like Brucky and Kolodzic, but also your class and Kevin Parker, who's been in the top 20, like, do you feel this is the kind of room that is, like, you can have that championship culture?
So it's funny. the reason I was at Del Barton and not, so it wasn't really, I wasn't really considering any other private schools. It was either go to Del Barton or go to my public school, Randolph High School, which they have had some in the past, some really good wrestlers. They have UPenn's 141 pounder AJ Vindici wrestles for Penn. He's from Randolph. So they've had some success. Mm-hmm. But it was either, you know, go there or wrestle for Del Barton. Ty had just won his first state title when I was in eighth grade. They were doing a lot of good things, you know, Christian Inarella, you know, just Nick Fair. They had a bunch of good guys that were doing really well in the state tournament. And, you know, Randolph had AJ, but then other than that, they didn't really have much else going on.
Right.
So it was either go there, go to Randolph, you know, be with my friends. Obviously, I had so many friends. I went to Randolph Middle School. All my friends were going to Randolph. I didn't know anyone go to Del Barton. Or go to Del Barton. It was obviously a better school, better wrestling, you know, and I could have just been like, I really felt like I couldn't pass up that opportunity. And then once I got there, I realized, you know, how much of the wrestling team is a family. Like, before I even got on campus my freshman year, in my eighth grade summer going into freshman year, the Del Barton wrestlers were inviting me down the shore and hanging out. And, you know, it just really, really included me. Like, I was a part of them even when I hadn't even got to school yet. So I felt really comfortable with the wrestlers before I even stepped on campus freshman year at Del Barton. And it's funny because one of the reasons why I picked Princeton, not the only reason, but one of the reasons is because I saw so many connections to Del Barton, right? This family culture that the wrestling team had, how good the academics are, you know, how much the coaches care about this team and about, you know, not even just the wrestling, but like academics wise, you know, they want us to have both aspects of it. So like that kind of like connection I had, it was you know, definitely one of the reasons why I picked Princeton. But like this atmosphere is on this team is really incredible. We have not even just our freshman class, but like we're so young, like pretty much over half of our starting lineup is freshmen and sophomores. So like we're hanging out all the time. We're going to the D halls together. You know, we're doing homework at New South. You know, we're just everything we do, we text, you know, sophomores and freshmen, even the upperclassmen, like, you know, we're just all we're doing everything together. So it's just really like a family.
You know, specifically, and I guess with freshmen and sophomores, it's almost the same, but like specifically freshmen, it is not usual to have four freshmen in a starting lineup. And really, you look at Cuomo's been around 165, Breeding Wrestling, you know, Breeding's under the, you know, guy who's been in the top three the whole year. It's one thing to have a bunch of freshmen. It's another to have a bunch of freshmen who are starting, and it's another to have them starting on a good team. I mean, making an impact on a team that has the highest ranking it's ever had. How tight is this freshman class, and how much, like, can a program build off of just, you know, or just individually? How much do you guys kind of get strength from each other?
Right. I mean, you know, talk about chemistry, and I think that if you were to rank it from 0 to 100, it'd be off the charts.
Right.
I mean, like, the camaraderie on this team, it's like I've known these kids my whole life, and I've known them for less than a year. So it's really incredible to be able to, like, have that, you know, relationship with these kids. I mean, all eight of us are, you know, hanging out or going out together. We're eating together. You know, it's the same thing as, you know, with the whole team, but, like, especially with the freshmen, obviously. Like, we have classes together. You know, we're doing everything together. And then in the room, you know, we just kind of naturally push each other. We're trying to get each other as good as we, you know, we're trying to get ourselves better.
Right.
So, like, you know, if I'm wrestling, Quincy would be like, yo, come on, Pat, what are you doing? Like, you're being lazy. Like, come on, get him. And, if I see Quincy in a position where I know he needs to work, I'll call him out on it. You know, we're not that kind of people. We're just going to, like, let stuff go by. We want to get each other better. But at the same time, you know, we're having fun with it. You can see, like, I don't know if you saw that video of Quincy after he got his pin at Drexel. He headlocked the kid, and before he even pinned him, he was laughing because he was having so much fun with it. And he was like, you know, it's just kind of like stuff like that where it makes the sport not even just fun, but, like, just, you know, just a great, you know, team chemistry and team, you know, atmosphere. So,
you know, you mentioned earlier this coaching staff has said, and they've preached, and the results have shown, especially over the last 2 years, that, you know, it's all about March. And I know this team wants to win an Ivy title. You love what you did at Midlands. But again, EIWAs and NCAAs and the ability to peak during that period. So when you look at yourself and kind of the improvements that you've made and where you have to get to, like, Do you feel, all right, it's been good so far, and it has, but I know what level I'm going to, and I know what level I can get to, or at least where I have to be when I go to Binghamton, you know, in another week, and then obviously when you go to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, obviously I came here, and, like, I've been in the wrestling room a million times since my freshman year. I used to come to wrestling camps here through Del Bar, and then, you know, I just knew, you know, Ayers and Dubuque. My little brother wrestled with Chase. You know, I've always had the connection with the coaches and the wrestling program here. And, you know, I've only been here for that one picture on that national championship wall. And it's you know, it's pretty incredible throughout all these years how there's only been one guy to stand on top of the podium from this program. And, you know, I came here, and I know Kaladze came here, and I know Brucky came here, and I know everyone else on this team came here because they wanted to be the next person on that top of the wall. So I think that, you know, it's a long season. It's almost a six-month season. So it's all about, you know, where you put your effort. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you are so worried about winning every single duel, you're not going to be as worried about winning the national championship. If you're worried about improving throughout the year, right, taking the baby steps, and knowing in the back of your head that what's your main goal, what's the top, right, what's at the top of the staircase, you know, that's March, and then by the time it gets there, you're so anticipating, you're so excited, you're so ready for it, that, like, you know, it's kind of game time in that sense, right? You're ready to go, and you know, it's kind of just been building up that intensity, that you know, feeling in your gut of, like, okay, I'm gonna get this kid back. You know, that all kind of culminates in March. So that's, I think, what all of our mentalities are going into this.
Thank you again for listening to this edition of the Higher Standard Podcast. You can watch Patrick Lurie and his Princeton teammates this weekend on Flow. Again, the EIWA championships begin on Friday. They'll go through Saturday. 3 p.m. will be the last session, first, third, and fifth place matches. Obviously, a lot of tickets being handed out to the NCAA championships, which will be 2 weeks later in Pittsburgh. We plan to have another Higher Standard Podcast before that one. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Higher Standard Podcast.